Okay, so I picked Proverbs 31 to study this morning, and I just chose a few of the verses to look at, and on your handout are the verses I chose, and I separated them on my lesson into the responsibilities we have to our families, if we have husbands and children, and then the characteristics that we should have as virtuous women in general. So I want to start, my first section is the responsibilities we have to our families, and I chose to start with verses 11 and 12. So, Jamie, could you read verses 11 and 12, please?
The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. But she will do him good if not evil, all the days of her life.
So on the handout I sent you all, what did you put for the acts or the characteristics we should have?
To be trusted.
Okay. Anything else?
Do him good and not evil all the days of his life. This is, we always want a definition for things. And we want a definition for love. Caring love. What is caring love? And to me, this is a perfect definition because it has the positive and the negative. She would do him good and not evil. And so when we're really thinking about what it is, this is in the context of husband and wife, but really in any context, when I want to have caring love, what is it that I do? Do good, no harm.
I was looking in other versions to see how it was phrased, and in one of them I found the phrase "will enrich his life." I think that when you think that gives you a purpose, that gives you a goal, and I think simple things that like starting your day thinking, "What can I do to uplift my husband specifically, or my family in general," can help you throughout the day to keep that in mind and be successful in applying that scripture to your life. The time you take to focus on that will, I think you'd be surprised that when you make purpose to think about something and start your day out a certain way, that it's easier to apply it, and it gets easier the more you do it. The next verses.
Before we leave there, please. In 11 and 12, it talks about being trustworthy. Mm-hmm. You know, you said some examples of how we can apply these to our lives. You know, throughout Proverbs, it talks of women. And one of the women that would not be trustworthy is a rebellious woman of Proverbs 7. And her feet does not remain at home. She goes out and she's flirtatious and she's looking for her gratification or for, outside the home and outside of her the marriage realm. And in Proverbs 11, it talks about a talebearer. And sometimes, wives cannot be trustworthy because they carry tales, they don't keep in trust the things between the husband and wife. And sometimes they don't even speak the truth. They hide what they spend money on, or they hide what they, or they misrepresent situations in order to make them look good. And, instead of saying, I was wrong in this, or I failed, to do that, they misrepresent. And so, to be trustworthy is to admit whatever you say, whatever you do, he can trust that you were doing right, and that he doesn't have to worry about any of those things.
Thank you. I meant to say this earlier, but some of these things I can't apply to my life at the moment. I don't have a family to take care of, but this is something that you all can teach your children, and not only your children, but the other young women that you have an influence on. I think I learn a lot from my own mother, and I learn a lot from my grandmother, but I still have watched everyone and how they interact with their families at home and in public, and it's a encouraging thing to see. And I think that for you all, you can keep that in your mind to help, you know, am I being an encouragement to someone that may be watching me and looking up to me right now, or am I being discouraging? Am I applying these scriptures to my life to be a good example, as we're commanded to be, to teach others? And you can teach and say all the things that you want, but if you don't apply them, and if they see you doing something other than what you have taught, that, you know, that kind of defeats the purpose, and it doesn't please God ultimately. So just keep that in your mind. I haven't experienced these things, but I've seen them, and it's just something that
you never know who's watching.
Exactly. And I know that because I do watch, and I do, I think, look up to more people that know that I do. And I know others do as well. So just keep that in mind as we study it and continue. So in verses 15 and 18, I grouped those two together. So Amy, can you read those two?
15.
Yes, ma'am.
She rises on stone while it is still night, and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She senses that her gain is good, her lamp does not go out at night.
So did anyone kind of summarize what these verses are talking about, or how we can apply them to our lives? I put that we're willing to serve, like, no matter when. Our job or our responsibilities don't stop just because, you know, we're tired or the day's done or whatever you want to call it. We should always be willing to serve, and that's a big part of it. It shouldn't be a burden. It should be, you know, a love. You care for those people that are your family, and it shouldn't be a burden to do these things. And if you apply them, you know, they're not, maybe not meant to be applied literally as working all through the night or anything, but it just gives the tone of self-sacrifice to your family, and more importantly, the willingness to do so. Are there any comments or questions?
Devoted to the family. Mm-hmm. Diligent. And I think she's prudent. It talks about there in verse 18, the first part of it, she senses that her gain is good. Mm-hmm. She has discretion. She's just not following after anything. She decides what is good based on the clothing that she mm-hmm. is putting on. The word of God, because she fears the Lord. And so she senses that her gain is good, and that she seeks after and does what that is good. So she's prudent, and she's just, you know, she has discretion. And that is something for us to learn along the way, is how to choose and what to make decisions about what is good and what is evil.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the next two verses I put together were 21 and 27.
I always liked that verse, verse 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good, because sometimes as women, you can get a woman, a wife, a mother, you can get discouraged because you can think, my husband doesn't appreciate me, or my children just take me for granted, or whatever, you know. But you have to know that what you're doing is good. You're making the right decisions. If you have that discretion, then you need to recognize it. And it doesn't matter if your husband doesn't, you know, he just takes you for granted, or your children, or whatever. You should feel good about what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Laura, can you read 21 and 27?
Mm-hmm. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, but all her household are clothed with scarlet. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness.
What did you all put for the characteristics we should have here, or the attitude we should have here?
For those times that can be that come up, those bad times, maybe I would bring them to it differently.
Yeah, I think I put on my notes, I put, or it stood out to me, it says she is not afraid. And I think if you prepare for something, you're less likely to be, you know, nervous or afraid. And if you, like you said, you're prepared and you have taken care of what you needed to, then you don't have anything to worry about. And this is about her household. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for her household is clothed with scarlet. She, you know, because of the circumstances, she has taken she has done what she needs to do for them to be prepared, and that was her duty. And that's just what I wanted to point out on that is, as long as we fulfill our responsibilities and we take care of our family and provide what they need, you know, it's taken care of, and we should not be afraid to use the scripture. In verse 27, it talks about, it says, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. So she's a keeper of her house, seeing to the needs of her family, and more importantly, doing so with gladness in her heart and with willingness. Because without the delight in doing so, there's, you know, you're not accomplishing anything. And the phrase eating the bread of idleness, I put down productive, like not lazy. I think that there's always something that needs to be done, and ignoring it or putting it aside may not be the right thing to do. It's always being productive and taking care of all of your responsibilities. Any comments?
I put a verse down, 1 Timothy 4:16, which sort of has the same wording. Of course, this is Paul talking to a young preacher about his work in the ministry. Mm-hmm. But it's that pay attention, or what this says looks well to. It's not haphazard. It's not, you know, something one day, another day. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:16, pay close attention to yourself and your teaching. Persevere in these things for the salvation for yourself and those who hear you. So here's this woman, and not only, you know, is she clothing herself, but she's clothing her family, mm-hmm. and they're going to be prepared for whatever storms of life are going to bring. And so it's something that takes diligence and attention. Not something that we just, you know, take for the moment.
Okay, thank you. The second section I had was the characteristics of a virtuous woman in general, or like the traits we should have, the attitudes we should have. And I wanted to start with verses 10 and 11. Ms. Hudson, can you read 10 and 11, please?
Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband saves and trusts her, so he will have no love to gain.
Okay, so in verse 10, other words that I found that were also in different versions is precious, and it's basically describing someone of value. And we should always strive to be a woman of value. And if we apply these things that we learn to our lives and to our families, we will be successful in being the woman described here. In verse 11, it says, it talks about being trustworthy and being a benefit to your husband. And like I said earlier, I think the phrase "will enrich his life" gives maybe applicable purpose to that phrase. It's a responsibility to be, you know, more than just a wife and mother, just more than doing what you should. It's a goal to have, to be a benefit to a husband, to enrich his life. It's not too hard to make ourselves stand out from the world in our actions or our attitudes or our deeds, but just doing the right thing or making good decisions is not good enough to meet the standards that God has set for us on our duty to be precious or valuable. It's more than not being worldly. It's being a godly woman and being a virtuous woman. And as we keep studying these verses, we'll see other traits and attitudes that we should have that will help us be successful in being the type of woman we should. Any comments or questions? Okay. In verse 13 and 18, Ms. Linda, can you read 13 and 18, please?
She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night.
Okay, in this verse, I wanted to focus more on the attitude she has while she's working. We discussed that we have a duty to work for our families and to serve. But Miss Linda, what did your version say again in verse 13?
She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight.
So in delight, that is an attitude. That is a feeling of the heart. It's not, you know, it's not just working and not just doing your duty. It's doing so with love and out of want, not out of need. In 18, we see that we talked about earlier. I think I mentioned it also. It's you are willing to do so. You're willing to work or serve whenever there is need. It's just I wanted to focus on the attitude that we should have. We can do all of our duties. We can take care of our children. We can, you know, cook and clean and all these things. But if we're doing it, you know, oh, I have so much to do. Oh, I'm so tired. You know, we should do them out of love. And it falls under also, I mentioned earlier, being a keeper of the house. These are our duties. These are our job as a keeper of the house. And this phrase encompasses so much of that responsibility. And I haven't experienced it, but I've seen that it can be stressful and it can be a burden, if I can use that word. It can be a burden to have all these things on our shoulders or on your shoulders. And if we have the attitude we should and the heart that we should, it goes back to what I think Jamie said earlier about doing it out of love and doing it because we care and love our families. Ms. Fontenot, can you read 1 Corinthians 13, 2 and 3, please? First Corinthians chapter 13, verses 2 and 3. Yes, ma'am.
If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, And if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing.
I think these two verses encompass what I'm trying to say, that we can do all the good deeds and the actions we want and serve our families, but if we do so without love and out of love for our families and love for serving God, then, you know, it's basically worthless. It says, I am nothing. If I do all these things without love, it doesn't matter. And so I think that's should be applied more so as the attitude that we have when we're doing these things. Any comments? Okay, back to Proverbs chapter 31. In verses 20 and 25, Jamie, can you read those, please?
She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reaches forth her hand to the needy. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come.
Okay, did anybody have anything on these two verses? Any characteristics or traits that we should have?
It tells her what? It tells of the strength and dignity in her clothing that she has prepared herself and grown in and put on. And in my view, it talks about her, and it also talks about the kindness is on her tongue. But she's kind and generous, and she imparts this strength and dignity to others for their good. And no matter if it's in the community, or, you know, wherever she is there, this character of hers, she extends that to others. So much so that she's known, that her husband is known in the gates. And so, you know, it's because of her character, you know, not because of the literal scarlet robe that he might have on, you know. But you know, it's because of her character and how she presents herself.
Okay. Anyone else?
I think it's important that we realize that, you know, look back into this is about character, because it's so easy for us sometimes to get caught up in the material things of life.
Mm-hmm.
And because you have no control. I think as a woman, we have so much less control than our husbands, because when your husband's making decisions and it impacts you, and that might not have been a decision that you would have made. So you have to just go along with it. You have to think, my life's not about my material goals or about my financial security or my health, or there's so many things that you're not in control of. There's really no control. And so these are the things, this is strength and honor that we're talking about. This isn't talking about, oh, I'm going to be here tomorrow, I've got money in the bank.
Right.
You know, people know that tomorrow you're going to have money in the bank. So we have to really think that you're prepared for whatever tomorrow brings you. It could be destitution, it could be poor health, it could be anything horrible. But if you have faith in God and you have faith in yourself that you're going to try to keep doing the right thing, then yes, you might fear being hungry, you might fear your poor health, but you really have nothing spiritually to fear.
Mm-hmm. And I had some notes on that. At the end of verse 25, she shall rejoice in time to come. I think one of the versions I read said she smiles into the future. She smiles at the future. And I think that's something you can picture. And it's just having a positive attitude. And like Jamie was saying, our faith in God and our service to Him will make that happen. And 'cause we can have faith and security in the fact that we don't have to worry about those spiritual things, that as long as we're serving Him and following Him, then we can smile at the future and like she said, we may have worries, but those things fall compared to the faith that we can have in God and the joy that we can have in knowing that tomorrow He will still be with us no matter what we may have to face. In verse 20, it talks about extending our hand to the poor and reaches out to the needy. So we should have a giving spirit. Obviously, we shouldn't give irresponsibly of our whatever it may be, of our time, our energy, or our money, but we should do so with discretion and with thought and wisdom. Any comments? The last one in this section is verse 26 that Miss Linda mentioned. Can you read that one, please, Miss Linda?
She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue.
Okay. This kind of goes along with what I said at the beginning about teaching others. And it is teaching others in general and anything that you are teaching. But you teach with kindness and with wisdom. It says we speak with wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. So it is, yes, it is an action of teaching and an action of speaking, but it is with wisdom. It is not idle. It's not pointless. We are to teach with kindness and to speak with wisdom. Those are things we should focus on as we strive to teach and be a good influence. That verse, along with all the other ones, but it's something that you can apply daily. You will always talk to someone. That sounds silly, but you will always talk to someone, whether it's your daughter or your husband or your sister or whoever it may be, and this can apply to anyone or just your neighbor. They don't have to be related. And when we do these things, maybe to someone of the world, you know, that they wouldn't do, it may, you know, make them say, wow, why, you know, why are they so, you know, kind? Why are they, maybe if we are admonishing or something, that they would take a different approach, maybe be frustrated or angry, and we can rely on this to, you know, help maybe be an example to someone else as they notice our actions and maybe be encouraging to them.
It's been said many times that wisdom doesn't just come to you. And I think that wisdom falls along with helping prepare, how she prepared. Mm-hmm. She studies, and she presents those opportunities, or those opportunities that are presented, she takes action on them. She's ready for her. She's prepared, she's studied, she's knowledgeable. So the wisdom's there. So that's what I think down there is the wisdom that she speaks. It didn't just,
right.
Just take.
Mm-hmm.
She had to have those other characteristics of her to have that wisdom.
Exactly. Any other comments? Okay, then the last two verses I want to focus on as a conclusion is 28 and 30. Ms. Fontenot, can you read 28 and 30, please?
Mm-hmm. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised.
I think these two verses sum up the result of applying all these things to our lives. These are our blessings that will come about when we are making the right decisions and we are being the virtuous women and wives and mothers that we should be and following the instructions and wisdom we have been given from God. Verse 30 is just, you know, it's encouraging, and if like when Jamie was talking about earlier, being discouraged by maybe feeling not appreciated or feeling negative anything, this verse is so uplifting and so encouraging. It can give purpose back to what you're doing and who you're serving and why you're serving them and what can come about from that.
I think it's important as mothers for us to teach children to give people praise. That's something I definitely need to work on, truly. Because, you know, we're so blessed that sometimes we just take it for granted, like, I deserve this. You know, I always lived my life well and made the right decisions for God, so I deserve to live this way or, you know, to be appreciated or whatever. But you don't teach your children to appreciate things, then they're never going to rise up and honor you and call you blessed because they're spoiled. You never taught them to be appreciative. And especially as mothers of boys, we really need to focus, which I don't have a boy, but we need to focus on teaching our boys to appreciate a virtuous woman. You know, so that our daughters to appreciate their husband. So, you know, if we don't teach our children to give praise or to show affection or to, you know, to do those things, they're not going to do that.
Thank you. You know, the caring love that we talked about, you know, one of the ways in Proverbs that it talks about not being this kind of woman is a person can, when our husbands or even our children stumble, it's sort of along with what Jamie was saying, we sometimes we say, well, I told you so, or, you know, you did it because you made the wrong decision, and it, even to the point of being contentious, but sometimes we just don't, we fault find, or we nag, or we tell them, you know, or we don't encourage them, especially when they, when things are rough, I know a couple of times, you know, over the years, where uncertainty was and the responsibility of the family really, you know, was on Wally's shoulders, even, you know, heavier. And decisions based on spiritual and physical well-being for the family, the choices that had to be made was to encourage, you know, and not to drag down or to find fault with. And so it's important, you know, even when things are rough or when they even made a wrong choice, is not to be contentious or I told you so attitude. It's being kind and being loving, that caring love, because that's not going to build up. It's going to turn up.
Thank you. Anything else? I know this is scripture that we are all familiar with and hopefully we've all studied before, but I think it's always good to be reminded of what we're commanded to do and who we're commanded to be, more importantly, to please God. And that should be our number one focus, is to be pleasing to God. And I hope that... Yes, ma'am.
I can tell from everybody's comments, they can tell this is a spiritual context rather than...
Mm-hmm.
So many people, we have women tell us this passage discourages them because they cannot afford the best linen. They cannot afford the best garments for their children. But maybe one thing that will help us, and everybody in this room knows I'm a big marker, and so if you will go through it and mark everything that pertains to clothing. Starting in verse 13, it talks the wool and flax, and she works with her hands. In other words, she takes this wool and flax, and she makes something out of it. Then in verse 17, she girds herself. That is a clothing thing. And then verse 19, it talks about she stretches out her hand to the distaff and her hand to the spindle. She doesn't just make the clothes. She makes the garment.
Right.
She makes the cloth also.
Mm-hmm.
And verse 21, her household clothes was garland. She makes coverings for herself. Everything through here, in verse 24, then garments, belt, clothing, and then verse 31, don't forget to mark that, the product of her hands. everything that's being talked about here, if you mark all of that, that just kind of jumps out at you. And then you can see who she dispenses this to, her household, her maidens, herself, the poor, the needy, the tradesmen, anybody that she comes into contact with, she imparts whatever this is to them. And this clothing, she gives this clothing to them. Then in verse 25 and 26, it tells us what this clothing is. It's strength and dignity. Every mother who is the mother in Africa who is the poorest mother to the Queen of England can give this to her children if she has it herself. Strength and dignity. And how she does it is she does it with kindness and teaching. She teaches. And so it's real, it's just real easy to me to kind of, because sometimes I've been to and heard preachers preach, well, this is the woman who clips coupons. This is the woman who keeps her the best house in the street. And this is the woman who her child, when they go to school, it's the got the best clothes. And well, that's just, that can be discouraging if you can't afford all of that. We can all be clean. I don't mean that. But I mean, maybe you come into my house one day and it's not clean. But I've been visually teaching my children things that are important. I've been doing this in the way that God intended it to be. So anyway, if you just do some of the marking, it'll really help you. And when you read through and truly remind you, or you hear somebody teaching this, maybe you can help encourage them, especially a woman who feels like, I can never, I've had people, well, Stephen, when he's taught this in ladies' Bible classes at other places when we travel in meetings, people will come up and say, this is the first time I've ever been able to read this passage and felt like it applied to me, because I felt like I could never be that woman. You know, I can't work well every night, you know, and her lamp never goes out. When does she have time for her husband? There's nothing in here said about being a companion to your wife, and we all know that's why we were created. So I really appreciate your lesson. You've done a good job.
Thank you.
So what I see is a balance. And if this woman is well balanced, she's responsible with the family, with the husband, with the children, with the needy, which is whoever needs help, but also responsible with God. And I believe that's the difference between the many women who do noble things, so in verse 29, and the youth that says you surprise them all. Perhaps you have to work on that balance. Sometimes I think myself, I will focus more on perhaps one thing and not the other. Maybe it's a balance that we need to have in our lives to make a difference.
Thank you. Any other comments?
The key is fearing the Lord, and of course Proverbs 1 and Psalms 1 talks about where wisdom comes from. And wisdom comes from a study of God's Word. That's wisdom. And it's going to take being diligent about study and prayer and preparing so that when something does come up, we can impart wisdom. But it doesn't come just by osmosis.
Are there any other comments?